Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
So, for the past, and I was trying to work it out, as I said earlier, for the last round about 2.5 months, maybe a little bit more, I have been driving a Geely from Hatfield that I got from Hatfield, and it's a hybrid. I am loving it. I've never driven an EV, an electric vehicle, before. I've always been a little bit nervous to do so, and I kind of like my Lexus, so I was a little bit hesitant, but then I started driving this, and I am, I'm a convert. I am completely converted to this notion and this idea. And I wanted to understand where South Africans are with regard to the types of vehicles that we're looking at. What are we nervous about? Where do we stand really compared to the rest of the world? Joining me in a studio is Chris Bukes. He is the Chief Executive Officer at Hatfield Motor Group World. Chris, good morning. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
Morning, Howard, and morning to your listeners. Great to be here.
So it's fascinating to me because I'm sort of just one example of somebody who has driven traditional vehicles their entire lives and now have started moving. I took a tentative step with a hybrid. I wasn't ready to go full EV. Do I represent a typical South African, or am I a little bit behind the curve?
No, I think you spot on. Myself, with my wife, took that step probably about 4 years ago.
Right.
And my wife's been driving an electric vehicle now for 4 years. And so we've also learned, like all South Africans along the way. But it's a very exciting time in motor and mobility in South Africa, because you've got all these technologies coming to the forefront. And and there's a lot of factors that's driven us towards some of these technologies that's happened recently, like the oil crisis and the prices of fuel.
That's interesting, because have you seen, since this crisis started, much more interest in the in electric vehicles?
Yeah, massively so. So the growth in the last 3 to 6 months has been enormous. So to give you a bit of an idea, so South Africa sells about 50,000 vehicles a month. And historically, about 70 to 90 EVs or electric vehicles a month. And in the last 3 months, it's gone up to 500.
Wow. That's a massive jump.
That's a massive jump. And it was really, the activation was really twofold. Number one is the entrance of affordable electric vehicles. Mm. And number two is the spike in the fuel price.
Yeah, and that has to be a factor. Are you seeing people doing what I'm doing in taking sort of the half step, or are people going the full EV route?
Yeah, I think it's quite an interesting time in this journey to new energy vehicles, which new energy vehicles really has segmentations. It's a battery electric vehicle, traditional hybrids, plug-in hybrids. I think the step-by-step approach has definitely been the approach that's been the more prevalent one. So when I say the electric vehicles have jumped from about 100 to 500, plug-in hybrids have jumped from about 100 to 1,400.
Wow. So okay, so when you were talking about that was pure electric.
Pure electric.
That is, yes, actually incredible. Are people doing hybrid within a family? In other words, the one car is EV and the one car is petrol.
What we found up to now is that most people retain a internal combustion engine vehicle.
Okay, is that what we call it? Thank you for that.
Yes, so a traditional,
right,
traditional,
okay,
vehicle, they retain that. And then they either have a full electrical vehicle or a hybrid, either a traditional hybrid or a plug-in hybrid. And that will be very much determined on your needs and your daily commute and the distances that you travel.
Yeah, it was interesting because I was chatting to a friend of mine and he was saying because he travels a little bit further than I do, for him a hybrid, a plug-in hybrid wouldn't work. He needs to go fully electric because otherwise he just doesn't have that, the range itself doesn't quite work for him. So I thought that was quite interesting that you have to really look at your circumstances and your driving style to see. How much of an impact does South African infrastructure or has South African infrastructure had on the sale of these vehicles?
So there's been enormous investment in public charging stations. I don't have the exact number, but there's more than 700 public charging stations available in South Africa, and I believe around about 400 in and around Johannesburg. So that has definitely made it a little bit more comfortable, somebody driving an electric vehicle. But I would say 95% of people charge their vehicles at home or at work.
Yeah, certainly I don't think I've ever charged it not at home. You know, I installed one of those chargers. It's not difficult to do. But if I wanted to drive down to Cape Town, would I be able to do it? I mean, I happen to have the hybrid, so I would. But would if I had a pure electric vehicle, would I be able to do that?
Yes, most definitely. You would have to plan to just make sure that you know where the charging stations are.
Right.
The electric vehicles have got different ranges. They've got different battery sizes. So if you purchase an entry-level electric vehicle, which starts at a range of 250, between 250 and 350, you're going to have to plan very carefully.
Right.
I wouldn't suggest that without very careful planning.
So it was actually quite funny. My son and his wife went to Greece, and he loves electric vehicles, but he doesn't have one. He's got a normal vehicle. She hired them a electric vehicle. It was the biggest disaster because they didn't work out the range. They weren't staying in Athens itself, and it happened to have a terrible range. And then they got to a charging station, and it was a slow. It just really, really didn't work. So you really do need to know. You need to be engaged in it, I guess.
It's interesting that, and it's if you Google it, you'll find it. That two of the biggest rental companies in the world had to write off significant amount of money because they put some electric vehicles, a large portion of electric vehicles in their rental fleet.
Right.
But people are, I mean, it's a little bit more conservative when renting vehicles, which I do understand because if you fly into a strange country, you wouldn't know where to charge and. Again, where do you staying? Are you staying in a hotel? Are you staying in an apartment?
Yes, exactly.
Is your vehicle standing outside on the road? Is the chargers available? It's all those things, all those factors that contribute.
Talk to me about Chinese vehicles, the impact that has had on the market in general, and then obviously we can talk about this as well.
Yeah, so around about 5 years ago, we've seen the real entrance of the latest Chinese models. I think before that, people were very much aware of Chinese vehicles entering and exiting. The current growth of Chinese vehicles has been incredible. Currently, it's about 30% of the market, the quality is incredible. The after-sales service is very good. They've got very good dealer networks. And I've been fortunate to travel to many of them and visit them in China. And, it definitely is going to take over a large portion of the motor industry in South Africa.
So just anecdotally, what I've noticed is friends of mine who I would never have thought would have, you know, very status conscious friends who would always have driven the status-associated vehicles. I see a good majority of them moving to Chinese vehicles because it just simply offers so much.
Yeah, I think the price points in South Africa and the affordability has played an immense role. So just the value proposition is undeniable. You know, so when you compare to some of the traditional brands, there could be up to a 30% price difference in the, in the vehicle, and the vehicles, the quality is similar. So no doubt that has driven the growth is just the affordability factor, especially in South Africa,
and value for money for
value,
sure,
100%,
for sure. Have 100%. You noticed that within in the Hatfield Group? I mean, you have an enormous range of different vehicles. Just for any of our listeners who don't know, just name some of your main brands.
Yeah, so the Hatfield Group is nearly 30 years old now and started with Volkswagen and Audi, so we still have those brands. We got Ford, Suzuki, Honda, Mazda, Haval, GWM, Chery, Omoda, Geely, as you mentioned.
Yes. So is it Geely or Geely?
It's actually Geely.
Thank you. Okay. Because, and this is always an argument, but clearly one that I've now lost because this comes from an expert. So it is Geely.
That's how the Chinese pronounce it, Geely.
Okay, fine. And they were in the country and then they weren't. What is their story?
So one of the major differences has been how the vehicles are imported into South Africa. So and there's still many brands in South Africa that's imported by a third-party importer and distributor. Let me not mention any names, but like Geely currently, Chery, they direct subsidiaries of China. So, so previously, a brand like Geely would have been imported and distributed by a third-party importer and distributor.
So just a couple of questions. Anton says, is your Geely a plug-in hybrid? It is. Gail says, where I live, I've never seen a charging station for an EV. Gail, have you looked? Have you looked? Because unless you actually are looking out for something like that, you might not have noticed it. You might not have noticed a garage or a... Are shopping centres starting to install them? I think I've seen them. I've certainly seen them in Melrose Arch. I've seen them in a couple of places. Is this becoming more common?
All major shopping centres have battery chargers. But maybe just to comment on... The comment Gail makes there, which is a very valid. There will be towns in South Africa that may only have one or limited. But as I mentioned previously, about 95% of us will charge our vehicle at home, and we will manage our charge, very similar to your cell phone.
Yes.
You will manage your charge accordingly. Right. So the how many times you really go out there and need a public charger would be...
Minimal, really.
It will be minimal, yes.
Yeah, as I say, in the 2.5 or 3 months, I haven't charged my car public, not at home. And Karen says, how does one charge a car when there's no power for sometimes a few days? Karen, rubbish. We don't have a situation that you don't have power for a few days. Everybody's got backup power. And if not, you can go to a shopping mall or another place like that. You guys are impossible, hey? I mean, I love you for it. But there you go. Adam says, I bought a Chinese vehicle a few years ago to get the same spec in another car. It would have cost me 200,000 Rand more, and I haven't had a day's problem with it. That is from Adam. Is the idea that, well, if it's came from China, it's from Temu. that's very clearly changing, I would imagine.
Many of the Chinese manufacturers are top 500, Fortune 500 yes. companies in right. the world. If you look at companies like BYD, Geely, SAIC, which is Shanghai Automotive Investment Corporation, those are some of the biggest companies in the world.
In terms of resale value, How much of a concern is that, both with EVs and with Chinese vehicles in of itself?
So what you'd find with all vehicles' resale value is actually the demand for the vehicle. So if there's demand for the new vehicle, there'll be demand for the secondhand vehicle. So we have not seen a drop-off more so than a traditional ICE vehicle.
That's interesting.
And with the affordability of the EVs, entry-level electric vehicle these days, it's just above 300,000 rand. So if you will drive that vehicle, if you're going to drive that vehicle for 3 to 5 years, the vehicle value will be, if it's 60%, it's going to be an incredible price point for somebody else to purchase.
It's incredible.
So,
yeah.
So I see very little challenge from a resale value point of view. Yes, if you go into the premium electric vehicles, which you go above 1 million rand, I think there might be a little bit more of a challenge there.
Right. What are our younger? When you look at the younger market, are they looking at vehicles differently to, let's say, our generation or an older generation? And if so, what are they looking at?
So I think the young people from today is as brand conscious as we all are. So I think there's still demand for really popular vehicles, traditional vehicles. I think a lot of people are thinking about the practicality. Like for instance, if your son commutes or your son or daughter commutes in Johannesburg and it's a commute of 100 kilometers a day, then it makes 100% sense. And some of these new Chinese brands are pretty funky, you know. So
yeah,
if you look at the Geely E2 or the BYD Dolphin Surf, it's pretty cars, it's funky cars, and it's got all the tech in that you want. So yeah, the youngsters would definitely love the vehicle. So, but you do still find, we still see the Volkswagen Polo, the Vivo, the Toyota Cross, those kind of vehicles still sell high volumes in South Africa.
Yeah, when we were at Varsity, it was the Golf, the GTI, I think, was the ultimate. Why are you looking at me like that, Mukundi? Do you agree? Is it still a good car, a good buy today, really? So there you go. Trends that you're seeing at Hatfield. What are you seeing, and where do you think this market is, the South African market is going?
So we'll see we'll see incredible growth in the new energy vehicle space in the next 5 years. In South Africa, our new energy vehicles currently is around 5 to 6% of the market.
Mm-hmm.
That's now electric vehicles, traditional hybrids, and plug-in hybrids. If you look at European countries, if you look at the right-hand drive, like the United Kingdom, they now sell up to 50% of the market is new energy vehicles. But that has taken 20 years to get there, so it will be slow growth. But it'll be exponential from a low base. So I do foresee us moving towards 15% market share in the new energy vehicle space in the next 3 to 5 years, most definitely.
Absolutely incredible. Just a question here from Henry. Is the cost of replacement of batteries an issue?
It's a very good question. So the first thing I can say to Henry is that all these electrical vehicle manufacturers, most of them put a 8-year, 200,000 rand warranty behind the battery, and most customers in South Africa drive a vehicle between 3 and 5 years. But even back to the question, so say for instance you do drive your vehicle for 8 years, the battery price will be similar to what you would have paid for an engine in a mechanical vehicle. So let me put it a little bit more specific. So entry level, if you buy an entry level electric vehicle at about 350,000, the battery would be about 50 to 60,000 rand.
Right.
So about 12 to 15% of the price of the vehicle, if you want to put a percentage
put it that
to
way,
it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that is interesting. We are unfortunately almost out of time. But just a final question is what excites you about the future of an industry, of this industry, that has clearly been changing and is going through some remarkable changes?
Well, I think, first of all, and I imagine that your listeners would be most interested in this, I think this is very good for the customers out there. So the competition has grown, and you'll see the price points lowering. The price points of electric vehicles has been lowering. And the good thing is that internal combustion engines will keep on evolving and becoming better. So briefly, one of the biggest manufacturers in the world, it's a Chinese manufacturer, Fortune 500 company, they foresee that internal combustion engines will remain 50% of the market for the next 10 to 20 years. They just foresee that they'll be manufacturing greener internal combustion engines. But I think it's a very exciting time, and I think it's very good for customers out there and affordability. So, yeah, interesting times, and but I think very good for customers.
That is where we leave it. Chris Buicks, who is the CEO at Hatfield. Thank you for coming into studio.
Thank you for
engaging with us and for chatting to us and our listeners.